Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast. Here we interview successful people who are living a life filled with adventure, excitement, and fun. Learn where they've been, explore where they are going, see what gets them out of bed in the morning, find out what drives them. We will go through their lowest points, and we will look at the opportunities and possibilities that are now presenting to them. Come on a journey of ignition. I'm your host, Leanne Blaney. For more information, go to ignitepodcast.com. Let's ignite. Jake Ryder is not your typical psychic medium. By representing Australia in a Ukraine reality TV show called Battle of the Psychics, he was voted third best psychic in the world, competing against some of the best psychic mediums from the USA, UK, Canada, Russia, Ukraine, and Europe. This achievement enabled him to go on and host 16 episodes of a psychic investigations reality TV show, where Jake solved and provided evidence for the solutions of murders, rapes, kidnappings, mystical situations, suicides, and much, much more. Now as a sought-after speaker and celebrity through Europe, Russia, and Ukraine, Jake is available to the USA marketplace and all other international locations. His inspirational story of how he left his normal life behind to completely embrace his talents is heart-wrenching, empowering, dedicated, and delightful. Today he transforms lives with his Insights of Love program, teaching his clients how to move beyond their beliefs, their values, their sabotages, and into their destiny to become the example of love in their life. Igniters, enjoy Jake's journey. Hi, Jake. Welcome to the Ignite Your Life podcast.
Hi, Leanne. Lovely to be here.
So excited to share your story. So shall we get started?
Okay. Well, my journey has been a really... I've got story after story after story after story. But what I want to do is share primarily why I'm sitting here in Ukraine, of all places, to be in the world. Now, I've actually been here just over 5 years. Back in 2011, now, I'm a psychic medium. That's one of my very strong parts of my life. That's just one of the many labels that people put on me. And I remember in December 2011, I was meditating. It's a pretty normal thing to do for my world. And I heard, sell everything, pack up. You're leaving Australia in July 2012. Now, I was in a relationship. I was, you know, I had a life in Australia, in Brisbane, of all places. And I was, do I trust this guidance that I've just been given? And that was a really strong question for me, because with that guidance, that was telling me to change my entire life. And I was quite happy in my relationship. I was quite happy in my life. Could I believe it? Could I trust? Now, being a psychic, I trust my guidance all the time. But this was, this was a life-changing situation that, could I really do it? A few months later, I went to LA, met a TV producer. He wanted me to do an audition. Came back to Australia and I did the audition for him. That's actually on YouTube. And it's available for anyone to see. Anyway, that TV project didn't go ahead. Now, meditating, strangely enough, a few months had gone by and my relationship had actually ended. I got an email from a TV channel here in Ukraine, STB, saying, we want psychics for casting our TV show, Bitva Ekstrasensa, which is Battle of the Psychics. Would I be interested? Now, they'd been approaching, they approach on average around 70,000 psychics around the world every year. They send out requests for people to cast on the show. Now, it had been, this was for series 11. So it had been around a while. It was number two in the ratings. The only thing that would beat it was X Factor. So it's a very, very, very popular show here in Ukraine. Anyway, I'm still hearing get rid of everything, you're leaving in July. Now, the funny thing was, the show was being cast in Ukraine in July 2012. And I went, woohoo! Yeah, okay. So I sent them all my details. They came back to me and said, yes, you've been accepted for casting. This was in April. And I'm going, woohoo, yay, yay, I'm off to Ukraine. Hey, my guidance is true. It's all correct. Fantastic. 2 weeks later, I get a phone call. Hi, Jake. You're Slav from STB. I'm sorry. We can't have you come to Ukraine. X Factor have gone over budget and we've had our budget cut. We can't afford to fly you over. Okay. So now what do I do? I meditate some more. Sell everything. Get rid of your car now. Get rid of everything. Get rid of everything? Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're leaving in July 2012. Where am I going? Not telling. You're leaving. Hurry up. Do it. And I went, you know what? I'm going to take the actions. Now, my flatmates and all my friends thought I was crazy. They thought I was nuts. I got rid of everything. It's now the end of June. I've got my bed, my meditation chair, and about 60 kilos of stuff fitted into a couple of suitcases. I sort of, now what do? Meditate some more, and I hear, move to Sydney. Okay, I've got no job, no car, no income, no nothing, and you want me to move to Sydney. So I ring a friend of mine on the Central Coast and said, hey, have you got a spare room? And she said, sure. And she worked for a spiritual shop on the Central Coast, a really popular one. And she said, look, you can come and do some tarot readings there if you want, make some money. Okay, well, this is good. So that was the Monday. I start arranging to leave on the Friday. I'd organise a train from Brisbane to Sydney because I didn't have a car. Flying with 60 kilos of luggage, yeah, no, that ain't going to happen. Mm-hmm. And renting a car, the one-way rental fee was hundreds of dollars and it was just stupid. So I organised for the Friday to be on the train to Sydney. Wednesday, I'm walking around Sandgate Beach. It was one of my favorite beaches in Brisbane. I've just had fish and chips from the yummy fish and chip shop. It's a full moon. I'm looking at the water, watching the full moon come up. It was 6:40 p.m. Yes, I remember the time exactly because then my phone rang. Hello, Jake. Yaroslav from STB. Jake. Can you be in Kiev on Saturday? Now, this is Wednesday.
Oh, no.
No. What do you mean, no? I said, I have to get a visa. That's in Canberra. I'm about 1,300 kilometers away from Canberra. I've got a truck coming tomorrow to take the rest of my furniture. And on Friday, I'm on a train all day to Sydney. I just physically can't do it. And he goes, okay, Jake, I will call you back. Now I'm walking around Sandgate Beach, saying a certain four-letter word, wondering, have I just screwed it all up by saying no? 45 minutes later, my phone rings. Hello, Jake, Yaroslav from STB, and he has this most gorgeous accent. I don't do justice with his accent, my imitation. Jake, the producers have had another look at your video. You have just been passed on the first two tasks. You're now in the top 20.
Wow.
And you'll have one final task to see if you will be in the full show, because what was going to happen was I'd be there a week, go through three casting tasks. If I got through, I would then come back to Australia for a week, then return to Ukraine for 6 months for filming. And he goes, so next Wednesday, you'll be on a plane or three actually, to Ukraine. Monday or Tuesday, you need to go to Canberra to get your visa, and we will fax the embassy in Canberra, and they will help you. Now, I don't know, have you ever had to fill out an application form for a visa?
They're not fun.
There's about 400 pages, and, you know, they want to know all sorts of stupid things. Well, the following week, I end up in Canberra. I walk into the embassy and I say, yeah, hi, I'm Jake Ryder. He goes, oh, you're Jake Ryder? Yeah. Oh, you must be very important. Why? Because we've got a letter here from the TV channel in Ukraine requesting we give you absolute complete assistance, diplomatic level assistance,
oh, wow.
Royalty level assistance, celebrity level assistance. And I went, okay. He goes, here's the pile of paper. You know, there's about this 100 pages of application form. He goes, right, put your name, address, phone number, and date of birth on there. Diddly-do, diddly-do, diddly-do. Go to the final page. Yep. See all those boxes there? Yeah. Say no. Now, those boxes were, do you have a criminal background? Have you been a terrorist? You know, all the ones that,
yeah.
You know, if you answer yes to, you're not going to get approved anyway. Fortunately, I don't have a criminal background. I'm not a terrorist, so it was easy, but no, 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 no. Okay, sign here. Yep. Okay, that's it. Done. We'll see you in 20 minutes. There was my visa. Done. Click. The next day, I'm standing at Sydney Airport, waiting to get on one of three flights for 26 hours. And I remember standing there going, I'm going to Ukraine. I knew nothing about it. I didn't speak the language. I'm going to be on a TV show to prove my skills as a psychic. And I could feel like, I felt like I'm leaving Australia. But at that point, I hadn't been cast in the show properly. I was there for casting testing. I remember standing there looking at Sydney Airport and looking at everybody around me, and they're all excited. They're going on a holiday. And I'm standing there going, I'm excited, but I'm leaving. And I could feel like I was leaving Australia. Thursday morning, I arrive after three flights into Kiev. My luggage didn't arrive. I did. I'm at the customs at Kiev airport. And the guy says to me, so, because you know you got the little form to fill in that says where you're living and all that sort of stuff. He goes, so where are you staying? Because I hadn't filled it in. I went, I don't know. And he goes, what do you mean? And I said, well, I'm here for a bit for extra defensive on STB. And he goes, and I said, and they're taking care of everything. And he goes, oh, no worries. Stampity stamp, stampity stamp. Have a lovely time. And it was just, okay, this is weird, but okay. Now I'm walking out of the arrivals into the arrivals area. I'm an hour late. I've had to go through the luggage claim process. Customs was easy. Who's here to meet me? My phone's flat. I can't ring Yaroslav. Now what do I do? Fortunately, this young man walks up to me and goes, hello, Jake. Phew. Now I'm now sitting in the car. We're being driven to the hotel. And there's an area, and I'm looking at what's going on in where I am. I'm looking at my location and going, this is weird. Because you've got all these Soviet-style buildings from the older days, and then you've got these brand-new buildings. There's amazing contrasts. And then you've got the cultural beauty here, these cultural buildings that are just stunning. And I'm looking, and we go past an area called Pozniki. And it's a real area of contrast. You've got the new and the old next to each other. It's an amazing place. And I started taking photos. Well, little did I know that that would be the location where I was going to be living with the woman I fell in love with. Because in the car, Yaroslav said to me, Jake, are you single or married? I went, single. He goes, would you like a Ukraine bride? And I said to him, if I fall in love, absolutely. Well, little did I know what was going to happen to me on this journey, because I then did casting, completed the final final casting task, and on the Monday, I get a phone call from the producers saying, because on the Tuesday I was meant to fly back to Australia, and on the Monday they rang me and said, congratulations, you're in the show, you're in the top 12. So here I was, this relatively unknown psychic from Australia who'd been living a corporate life and who'd also been running a web design company, was now representing Australia on an international TV show against competitors from the UK, USA, Canada, some of the best in the world. And some of the tasks we had to do were just mind-blowing. And for the next 3 months, I was awarded several times Psychic of the Week. Wow. I was the best psychic out of the 12 of us, for a few of them. We solved crimes. We actually solved crimes that the police hadn't been able to solve. The evidence that I gave led them to arrest people. The information that I gave people brought peace to their hearts. And at that point, we weren't being broadcast. For the first 3 months, we weren't being broadcast. We were just being recorded. So I was able to walk around Kiev anonymously, basically. And so I learned my way around. I learned how to use the mashutkas. A mashutka is a little bus. And you don't have a buzzer to press to get off the bus. So you don't have a bell. You have to say, Nastanovka, pozhelosta. Next stop, please. Nastanovka, pozhelosta.
You've done well getting that out.
well, yeah. I started learning Russian and Ukrainian. And for 3 months, I was competing. And then it's the end of September, and it's time for us to go back to our countries for a week. So we meet the visa requirements, and then we could come back in the country because you're the 90-day rule. And we had an exception that, because the rule is you can do 180 days within a year in 90-day increments with a maximum of 90 days at once. And so we had an exception. We had a special stamp in our passports that said, you can leave and come back immediately. So what I discovered was when you work with a television company, you just say, yes, I'm with STB, and doors open. Things happen. It just magic occurs. And I went, oh, this is kind of useful. On the flight back from Australia, I'm sitting there, and I looked back at the 3 months that I just had. Now, the details of what happened are in my book, Jake Ryder, Real Psychic Medium on Reality TV. And I look back at all the activities that I'd done in those 3 months so far, and I was exhausted. I was competing so much against these people. And I realized that I don't need to compete against anyone to prove to anyone else who I am, what I am, whether I'm good enough. I just have to be the best me I can be So when I came back with a different attitude. And the attitude was for me to be the best me I could be. Well, when I came back, I also had another experience, because on my birthday was the day of, in the beginning of October, was the day we were broadcast. The first show was broadcast on my birthday. So all of us had a party at my hotel for my birthday and for our launch party, our first day of broadcast party. I'll share you a couple of funny stories in a second. Now we were no longer anonymous. It was funny getting recognized. Because here, 34 million people watched the show.
Wow.
34 million, that's twice the population of Australia, watch the show.
It's massive.
Plus, plus it's syndicated all around the world on the Russian cable network. Mm. So consequently, I've now got huge, huge sets of fans in the Russian community. I'm extremely well known in the Russian community. Now, I remember one day I'm sitting, and it was actually at the hotel. Euro, the football, was happening in Kiev, the games. And I'm sitting at the hotel because we were doing some filming for advertisements for the show. Well, you have to wear makeup, don't you, for TV? I wore so much makeup. I really feel for women who have to wear makeup. I can understand, because I would come home with this thick television makeup on and have to scrape it off my face. Oh, dear. It just, you know, you don't go anywhere without makeup. I remember, I'll tell that story in a second. But anyway, I'm sitting there on the couch at the entrance to the hotel. Our makeup girl, Sasha, she's doing my makeup. She's putting stuff on me, and then she's powdering me and just putting the full layers of makeup on. Well, two busloads of football players arrive. About 60 or 70 guys start walking past, these big, muscly football players. Yeah, big, masculine blokes. And I'm sitting there getting my makeup on. Yeah, I was sort of, oh. It was one of those, yeah, I'm feeling very manly with all this makeup on. And then I had to go upstairs to the cafeteria. By the cafeteria, there's an atrium. And that was where we were filming. And so I'm standing there. I'm all mic'd up. And I do the advertisement, the copy for the advertisement. Well, some of the football players were watching, weren't they? Then what happened was I take off my microphone and I go behind the cameras now. Next thing you know, I'm surrounded by these football players. They all want my autograph. Oh. They all want photographs with me. Now, hang on. I'm just this normal guy from Australia. You guys are celebrities. You guys are international football players. Oh, hang on, I'm now an international celebrity psychic. And there was a twist in my mindset at that point. The reality of it was that I have been watched by over 34 million people in Ukraine, 100 million throughout Russia.
Mm.
Because like I said, we're broadcast on the Russian cable network.
Yeah.
Countless millions throughout the world. I've got fans all around the world now because of being here in Ukraine. I had a desire when I was younger that what I say would make the difference in people's lives. And I discovered that being on television was a most fantastic medium for that, because I could touch more lives with one broadcast than I could in any other way possible. Mm.
Mm.
And I realized that then people were asking me questions, and could I help them with things? And And I realized then how much of a responsibility it is when you are on television, when you are on the internet, when you are broadcasting, when that you have to help people. Now, I'll be in the local supermarket and I'll have my little red basket in one hand and a packet of toilet rolls in the other. And I'll have people wanting photographs, autographs, hugs, wanting me to help them, asking me questions about their lives. And you realize then the responsibility you have, that when you have these desires to have this greater audience, that you have a huge opportunity and a huge responsibility to respect both them and yourself. Because there are times when I just didn't want to talk to people. I was exhausted. You know, we'd be filming all night long. We'd film from 6 p.m. at night till 6 a.m. in the morning. You try filming, being at your best at 4 a.m. in the morning, filming in a cold warehouse or in a building where there's snow all around you. You don't want that. It's not fun. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard work. And so, but you have this responsibility to be there for people. Now, fortunately, I also met my now wife here in Ukraine. I needed shaving foam, and they had the Schick and Gillette foam here, and I didn't like that. It doesn't do anything to my beard. So I looked online and I found that Amway had a product, a gel that I could use. And so I looked on Facebook for Amway Kiev English. Well, Sveta came up, didn't she? My darling Svetlana, there she was. And I looked at her picture and I went, oh, she's pretty hot. and so I contacted her and then got really busy with filming. Every day we're filming back to back. Normally we'd film for 3 days and get 4 days off. Now we're filming every day for nearly 3 weeks, or 2 weeks it was. October 17, 2012. I have the day off, so I arranged to meet Svetlana. Now we're filming this recording on October 18. So yesterday was our 5th anniversary.
Oh.
Yeah. And so it was a rainy day. I met her at a Ukraine mall and she had the umbrella, so I couldn't see her walking towards me. You know, there's hundreds of people around and there was all these umbrellas. I couldn't see her and she just stood at the base of the stairs where I was standing, dropped the umbrella, looked up at me and goes, "Hello." I just looked at her and that was it. Bang, game over. Love at first sight. I just looked into those eyes and that was it.
Oh,
while I was here, our relationship blossomed, it grew, and I realized I didn't want to come back to Australia. I had this beautiful goddess in my life. So we arranged for me to stay here, and when the show finished and I got awarded third place best psychic in the world, we moved to Poznicki, to her flat in Poznicki. And the next year I was filming a show called Psychic Investigations, where I was investigating murders, lots of more crimes, a lot of mystical stuff. Again, details are in my book. And again, we solved crimes. We had people locked away because of what information I gave. When I can tell a couple of story of what happened if you want on Psychic Investigations. Would you like one of the stories?
Sure.
Do we have time?
Yeah.
Okay, sure. Let me just have a look and see which one do we want to share.
I'm sure our listeners are as fascinated as I am at the moment. I'm loving hearing your journey.
I have thousands of stories and we could be on here for hours. Now, where's the other one? Virginia Murder. Ah, there we go. Okay. Now, this one is only a very short paragraph in my book, but there's something very funny about it. Now, we got called to a little village in country Ukraine. Now, on the way there, we pull over at a truck stop because, you know, we need food on the trip. We're traveling for hours. We need to eat. We've got a crew of 22. There's two psychics and a crew of 22. And so we host the show, and it's 3 days of filming, basically, per episode. So it's quite demanding. Anyway, we're on the way there, and we arrive at a truck stop. Now I'm sitting, we're going to be filming after we leave the truck stop in the van as we're driving. So the makeup girl, I'm sitting on the side of the bus on the doorway, so we've got light so she can see, and she's putting my makeup on. And there are all these big burly truckies.
It's a common theme here.
Oh dear. And it was sort of, and they look, because there's this guy getting makeup put on him. I by this time I was pretty relaxed about having makeup on. Oh, I've got to share. I'll just jump out of that story for a second. When Sveta and I were dating, I had been filming Bitfix That Offensive one day. It was 11 o'clock at night, and I had to meet her in the metro. Well, we finished filming at 11. So the crew dropped me off at one of the metro stations. So I jump on the train, go to the metro junction where two lines intersect, where I was going to meet Sveta, and then we were going to go and have a midnight dinner, a late date. Because there's a lot of 24-hour restaurants here in Kiev. Kind of handy. Well, I'm standing at this junction, this beautiful underground station. I've got my big jacket on, my black pants, my black shoes, and a full face of makeup. And I'm standing there going, oh yeah, I've got makeup on. Oops. Hoping. Now, I don't have a film crew around. I don't have the TV channel there to protect me. I'm just standing here on my own. I'm just a guy in the train station wearing makeup. fortunately, Sveta arrived, and then off we went. But it was just one of those moments where you go, I'm a guy wearing makeup. That's different. But then as the more you get on television, the more you realize the makeup is just part of your uniform. Anyway, I've done my makeup at the truck stop, hop in the bus, and off we go. We start filming. We get to the lake, to where the, because what had happened was a gentleman had been fishing in this lake almost every day for years. You know, 20 years he'd been going to this lake. But this one day, he was found dead, face down. Now, when you go to a certain place for that length of time, people think, you know, you kind of know the place. And they were wondering, was it a murder? Well, it wasn't. It was just an accident. He was drunk, basically, and he fell over and drowned. Now, the story is only one paragraph in my book because it's not a very interesting story. What makes it even funnier is the fact that, and it's a tragedy. How can a tragedy be funny? We're being filmed by the lake. And the director says to me, okay, bend down and do some energy work around the lake so we can get some camera shots. Okay, so I crouch down and I've got my hands and I'm doing energy work and the camera crew are around me going, doing different angles. And then and I'm also wearing, because it's winter, it's not snow yet, but it's cold. And I've got my thermal underwear on. long johns. Can you see where this is going? And the director says, okay, now go over there and I'll film you walking over there, then bend down and do some work over there. Okay, so I go, I stand up, I walk, I bend down, rip, my pants split. And I said, because I had a microphone on, I went, my pants just split. And the director says, that's okay, we just won't film from that angle. Now I've got half my butt hanging out. Fortunately, I've got long johns on, so you can't really see anything, but still. And we do the filming. Okay, that's great. Now, when I was here in on TV, they gave me an animal to work with, a snake. And so I had the snake on one arm. And I'd be working with the snake on the show. It gave added suspense and drama to the show. Mm. Well, I have the snake on one arm. I'm now holding my pants together with my other hand. Now I have to walk back to the bus. As we're walking back, this group of school kids, they found out we were filming. Oh my God, it's the psychics. Extra senses are what we're called here. And they want autographs. They want photographs. They want questions. Now I'm standing there holding my pants together, trying to do autographs for these kids. Kind of upset because, well, my pants just split. And I couldn't get hold of my translator. She'd taken her earpiece out because we'd finished filming at that point. So she'd taken her earpiece out. And so she couldn't hear me speaking. And I'm going, Tanya, where are you? Tanya, Tanya. And it was just one of those moments where, what do I do? So I gave the kids some autographs and photographs. And then hoofed it back up the hill to the bus and got our darling makeup lady, who I said to her, pants have split. And she goes, okay, take them off. So I'm now sitting in the back of the bus just in my long johns, and she's got my pants and she's stitching them together for me.
Wow, the stories.
These are the happy stories. These are the happy stories. I could have said a lot of the darker stories and things that have happened here. Mm. Because I've dealt with murders. I've dealt with one guy was a pedophile. Another guy was a ritualistic killing. Another guy was a rapist and kidnapper and murderer. I've got huge stories about what's happened here. And that's why I put them in my book, because at least in my book, you can put it down.
Yeah.
But my experiences here in Ukraine have been completely life-changing. I had to follow my guidance. I was being told, leave, you're leaving, you're leaving, you're leaving Australia. And I had to trust it and do actions that people thought I was crazy for doing. I didn't tell my family that I was going to Ukraine. So on the Monday, once I'd been told I'm staying, I then rang my mum and I said, hi, mum, guess where I am? And she goes, where, dear? Because the last thing she heard, I was in Brisbane. Mm-hmm. I'm in Kiev, Ukraine. What are you doing there? I'm on a TV show. You're on a what? And this is the thing, that when we go through massive changes, we have this great desire. We want to tell people. Resist it for as much as you can until you're at a point where you can get their support. Because what happens is we have these ideas, these desires, these things we want to achieve, and other people don't believe we can do it. and when you let them get in the way of your journey, you end up not doing what you're actually destined for. You're not doing what you're meant to be doing. You're not living the life that you're meant to be living, and you're so affected by them that you're stopping yourself achieving the greatness that you need to be doing.
Yeah.
It's better to keep your mouth shut sometimes. Do it, and then once it's done, then tell people. And you'll see a massive difference.
Yeah, that's huge advice, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, incredibly huge.
Well, Jake, I'd like to thank you so much for that fantastic journey you've taken us on. I loved it. I loved every minute. I was enthralled. And the advice coming from that was just amazing. So, I'd like to thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Happy to be here.
Now
if anyone wants a copy of my book,
mm-hmm.
There's two ways of getting it. One, you can get the printed version on Amazon.
Yep.
Or if you want an electronic version, it's free. And you can get that free from my website, which is jaycryder.com/freebook. jakeryder.com/freebook.
Excellent.
That simple.
Yeah, I recommend
just pop your details in. It's 74 pages. It's an easy read, but you'll see some of the adventures that I've been on.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, well, thank you very much. I will make sure our listeners have got that website ready to go. And I'd like to thank you for your time. Thank you.
Lovely being here. Thanks so much for having me.
Well, Igniters, I trust you enjoyed Jake's interview. He's a natural-born storyteller, and I love how he has transformed his life. If you want to get a copy of Jake's book, go to jakeryder.com/freebook. And that's JAYCRYDER. And to get more out of life and learn how to make those changes, go to ignitepodcast.com. And if you're a woman looking for more variety in her life, try my Facebook group, Ignite Your Life Adventure School for Women.